happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And in the news this week, well, the U.S. Supreme Court has let Idaho deny gender-affirming medical care for minors in that state.
Except for a couple of plaintiffs in the lawsuit.
Oh, that's true. Two of them.
Christian nationalists are now speaking in tongues after hours on the floor of the Arizona Senate, and we have the videotape.
A federal judge rejected a lawsuit against New York Attorney General Tish James from that anti-transgender suburban politician.
Yeah, nice to see the court doing that. But a circuit judge in Missouri is letting the attorney general there see Planned Parenthood records on treating trans people.
They're shameless. Kansas's Democrat governor vetoed a bill blocking medical care for trans people.
I know you meant to say Democratic.
I did get the ick.
A little bit. But you sound
I don't think Democrats are icky.
No, but we sound like Republicans when we say Democrat governor. Kentucky and Georgia legislatures adjourned their current sessions without advancing any anti-LGBTQ laws. And believe me, they had plenty of chances.
And they've certainly passed many in the past. Republicans in swing states are sprinting away from their extreme anti-abortion positions.
Yeah, Carrie Lake.
It's like all across the country.
Unbelievable.
All across the country.
Woo! Watch them go. A gay man was murdered by a cop in South Carolina in a really tragic story.
The New York City Police Commissioner is refusing to discipline the cops who killed a mentally ill gay man in his home.
The passing of a pro-LGBTQ Catholic bishop and the first conjoined twins of different genders are in the news this week.
Celebrity trans woman in Nigeria was sentenced to 6 months in a male prison.
And we'll review appropriate, or is it appropriate?
It's both.
Yes, by out playwright Brandon Jacobs Jenkins and starring out Sarah Paulson.
But we start with the Trump trial in New York. Once again, Rise and Resist, a predominantly LGBTQ group, yes?
Not exclusively, but predominantly.
We don't discriminate. Was out there at the trial. We have a picture of them down there in Manhattan. A pathetic turnout, by the way, from the other side. They said that Trump doesn't even call for his supporters to come down because he knows they won't.
They won't. And it made news that he had so few supporters out there. But there were some of them, and they had those big Trump flags. But Rise and Resist had the Lori Arbiter signs. And this, we just wanted to show you one of our favorites. In a previous Trump court appearance in Lower Manhattan, Rise and Resist rolled out this huge banner that says, Trump lies all the time. And, of course, he's continuing to do that.
Now, we're all looking at jury selection this week. And there was a survey by the courts in 2022 of, on average, what a Manhattan jury's consist of. They found 6 women, 5 men, and 1 person who identifies as transgender or non-binary.
That'd be interesting if this jury got that. So far, the seven jurors, as we record on Wednesday, 4 men, 3 women.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually 7 white people, 2 Latin people, 1 black person, 1 Asian, and 1 who is a mixed or other race. Okay. And speaking of criminal defendants, another serial liar, George Santos, one of ours, but we really don't want him, has raised no money for his run for Congress and has not reported any campaign activity. We have a picture of him that he posted this week of himself as an 18-year-old model and said it was fun times, But looking back, I can say I was being constantly sexually harassed, but didn't realize it. When I look back, it haunts me. He's moved on, of course, to haunting us.
So would you want to be on the Trump jury?
Would I want to? Well, no. I mean, I could not honestly answer any of those questions and not get kicked off. And the first one is, can you be impartial? Be one of the hands that goes up. No.
Well, I was not picked for a jury a couple of months ago because I said I wasn't sure I could be impartial to the NYPD in their testimony.
Well, look, I mean, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court now. They have lifted an injunction preventing Idaho's ban on gender-affirming care for minors from going into effect. So now, Idaho doctors, except for these two plaintiffs, who prescribe puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones, face up to 10 years in prison. Because a lower court judge had blocked it, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit upheld that injunction.
But now the Supreme Court has dropped it. Now, the case is still under adjudication, so this law could still be declared unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, has decided that while that process goes on, we'll let the law go into effect and let doctors be subject to jail time if they actually treat any trans minor who requests it.
Now, the Supreme Court likes to get technical when they're screwing us. So they said, well, you know, we're really ruling against a universal injunction, even though this is a state law and not a national one.
They have so many ways to twist things. This whole thing about demonstrators and whether the leader of a large demonstration can be held responsible if someone in the demonstration does something illegal. And it had to do with our former guest from several years ago, DeRay McKesson, who we had on this show talking about Black Lives Matter protests. And he was leading a demonstration then several years ago. Several demonstrations, and someone in his crowd threw a rock, and it hit a cop and injured him. And so the question was whether DeRay could be held responsible for that. And the Supreme Court refused to review it, and the feeling is that this puts all demonstrations at risk because you can hold anybody responsible for anything.
And the other big case, it looks like they're going to nullify a lot of the convictions of the people in the insurrection because they're saying this federal law should not apply to them. But again, it's all whose ox is gored.
Well, it's hard to imagine how you could argue that the January 6th demonstrators or rioters or attackers at the U.S. Capitol were not trying to interfere with a government procedure. I mean, that's why they went there. But if they're not held responsible, if they're told they can't be prosecuted under this law, it really could mess with Jack Smith's case against Trump for the same stuff.
Or parts of it.
But yeah, they claim that there are other ways they can go after him. But, man, that it just defies logic to think that they couldn't be held responsible on those grounds.
Well, in other news of transgender rights, in California, the anti-trans activists, they want to call their ballot initiative to sort of stop trans care. But the Protect Kids of California Act, but the Democratic Attorney General Bob Banta chose the name signature gatherers must use. Restricts the rights of transgender youth. That's what it's going to say.
Yeah, so the right-wingers are up in arms over that and saying, how dare you put that name on this ballot initiative?
If the shoe fits.
Well, these fights have gone on for years about how you entitle ballot initiatives, so we might win this one. All right. Well, I'm dying to show this video from Arizona. You know, Arizona, between Carrie Lake and Kyrsten Sinema and everything else going on in Arizona, it's got a lot going on. So this video surfaced of a state senator of Arizona after hours. You'll see the state Senate chamber is empty, but he has assembled a group of people in the well of the chamber there, on and around the state seal, which is supposed to be no, don't tread on me territory. But there they are kneeling and chanting and speaking in tongues in the state Senate.
Let it be so, Father God. Let it be so. Let it be so.
Right now, we just release the presence of the Lord in the Senate chamber. We just release the hovering glory of God Almighty in the Senate chamber. We just pray right now, Lord God, over every guest.
Now, if you couldn't hear that, it was
I can only imagine if a, say, coven of witches wanted to do it there, what would happen to them?
They would have,
oh, my God.
Well, let's see what the Supreme Court would say about that.
This now, is what this country is coming to.
Now.
Speaking in tongues in a legislative chamber.
The well, of course, we have. They open almost all legislative sessions with prayers, which, you know.
It's true, only marginally better.
So, we all know about the Supreme Court decision there that, you know, let this 1864 anti-abortion law go into effect. It was a 4-2 majority. But two, now we have a picture of the Supreme Court there.
In Arizona.
In Arizona, yes. Two of the members, the one on the far right and third from the right, are Clint Bolick and Catherine King. They're Republican appointees. Well, they're all Republican appointees, and they are up for retention votes. This is a thing in Arizona.
And elsewhere.
When you get the job, you have to go for retention within 2 years, and then you can go for 6 years and another retention vote. So they may get to vote on this fall. However, the legislators have proposed a constitutional amendment to give judges life terms, ending retirement at 70 and retention votes.
Wow. See,
well, this is the Republicans. They know how to get and use power. And while we're twiddling our thumbs sometimes.
Well, while we're believing in democracy and the voice of the people and the power of the people, they're saying, no, we have power and we're going to just grab it and hold it and you can get lost.
And Arizona Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a discriminatory Women's Bill of Rights that would have instituted an unworkable definition of biological sex, according to the Human Rights Campaign. It would have barred trans women from all kinds of facilities, and she also vetoed a bill that would have permitted teachers to post and teach the Ten Commandments.
And Carrie Lake is just lying through her teeth about her opinions on abortion. Unbelievable.
People have short memories. Well, you know, I mean, when you
read
how...
Well, the news media try to remind people. Here's the video of Carrie Lake 2 years ago saying, I love this anti-abortion law. We must have this, outlawing all abortions. So they're trying to remind people, but who will pay attention?
Look, people are looking back on the Trump administration with a rosy haze.
I know.
These
Things
days.
Were so much better 4 years ago. Oh, my God.
Yeah, eggs were cheaper.
Oh, all right. Well, let's go back to New York, where things are sometimes saner. A judge in New York has thrown out Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman's attempt to sue State Attorney General Tish James, there on the left, over her order to him to get rid of his anti-trans order, which forbids any team in Nassau County from using county facilities if there are trans members of the team.
The judge said he lacked standing. Now, Blakeman vowed to appeal. Tish James had told him to cease and desist from this barring of trans people, but she has not filed suit against him, but the NYCLU is suing him over it on behalf of that roller derby team that has a trans member, and they want to keep her.
Interesting new study I just read about, by just, I mean, 10 minutes ago. Someone investigating trans versus cis athletes, Olympic athletes for the most part, and in evaluating them physiologically, they found that trans women athletes had less lower body strength than cis women athletes. So when they talk about trans women having this great physical advantage over cis women, that may not actually be the truth, and it may be a more complicated story. So all this rush to ban trans women from sports is not only hideous and discriminatory, but perhaps really, really inaccurate.
All right. In Missouri, the wicked Republican Attorney General Andrew Bailey, we have a picture of him, won a ruling from a circuit court judge entitling him to Planned Parenthood's records on providing trans health care, so long as the documents aren't subject to HIPAA protections. Bailey says he's fighting to make Missouri the safest state in the nation for children. Trans kids and their families would vehemently disagree. Planned Parenthood called his investigation a sham and an assault on health care.
Well, you would think that any health records would be subject to HIPAA protections that protect the privacy of people's medical records. But in fact, in this case, the attorney general is somehow defining them as merchandising, not HIPAA. Please.
All right, in Kansas.
We should first do the other Missouri story.
Oh, yes.
Where the Eighth Circuit Federal Court is hearing an appeal of the Arkansas decision striking down, they passed a no trans youth healthcare law.
The first one in the country.
Yes. And then trans activists went to court to have it declared unconstitutional and got it a ban, a temporary injunction against it. So the state of Arkansas has now gone to the federal courts, to the Eighth Circuit, to appeal that. We have a picture of Chase Strangio of the ACLU on the right.
Who argued the case.
Yeah, and Elliot Page, who came along for the ride. So that is now at the federal courts, and we will keep an eye on that decision.
Strangio said the law infringes on the rights of parents. Arkansas argued that the law does not discriminate on the basis of sex, and all but one of the judges that they argued before are Republican, so it could be headed to the Supreme Court. Appeals courts have allowed laws like this to go into effect in Alabama, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And the wicked governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, has since made it easier to sue providers of such care for malpractice.
These things are going back and forth all over the place.
They're going backward.
Well, it's very hard to keep track.
I'm coming down to Arkansas this weekend. Don't let me, you know, catch you, Sarah.
What do you have in mind? What are you planning in Arkansas?
I'm just seeing family. I have a big branch of the family down there.
Okay. Originally from Long Island. They're not
Arkansans. Yes, we're all from Long Island.
They're not Arkansans originally. All right. So now let's go to Kansas.
But I'm an Arkansas traveler.
Yeah. So Governor Kelly in Kansas, who is a good Democrat, has vetoed once again a bad bill from the Republican legislature, which banned medical necessary care for trans youth. Some of these vetoes are standing. I'm not quite sure how.
She said it tramples parental rights. The Republican legislature likely has enough votes to override her veto on April 29th. Something they failed to do last year. If it goes into effect, minors currently receiving such care would be allowed to continue treatment if a physician demonstrates that an abrupt stop would endanger a child, but must create a plan to phase out that treatment.
Well, that sounds contradictory.
And then in Virginia, Republican Governor Youngkin sent back an amended contraceptive protection bill passed by the legislature, removing the specific forms of contraception listed, including emergency contraceptives like Plan B, and he gutted enforcement provisions. So the sponsors urged rejection of his amendments.
Well, let's go back to some state trans stuff. In Ohio, a court temporarily blocked the law barring care for trans youth and trans participation in sports. So that's a good decision for the moment.
Well, and the Georgia and Kentucky legislatures failed to pass any of their anti-LGBTQ bills this year. this year, as they have in the past. As we told you, Florida passed just one of the 22 anti-LGBTQ bills this session. West Virginia also just passed one of them, among others.
And in West Virginia, a federal court continuing to consider the case of young Becky, 13-year-old trans girl, who is the track participant. The court blocked the law barring trans sports participation, saying it violates Title IX and that Becky has a right to participate in sports as a trans girl.
So there's a feeling that there's a slight retreat in an election year for these legislatures not wanting to have recent votes that are so bigoted as they face re-election. And there's a wonderful report from CNN. I'm going to link to it in our email about Republicans in swing districts and swing states sprinting away from their recent complete opposition to abortion, including nationally.
So, but in New Jersey, the Roxbury, New Jersey Board of Education, by a vote of 5-4, has rescinded its trans-supportive policy. So okay. They're running in the other direction. And one more thing. Nationally, the trans veterans are suing the Veterans Administration to get them to cover surgery for trans vets who want it and need it. The Veterans Administration promised a couple of years ago that they were going to do this. They cover hormones and other medical care for trans vets. There are, by the way, an estimated 134,000 transgender military veterans in the United States. But the Veterans Administration has not followed through on its promise. They have been stalling. They're now saying it's going to take another 2 years while they try to implement this. This has been going on for the last 7 or 8 years. So the vets are tired of this, and they are suing the Veterans Administration.
Okay. In let's go to Pennsylvania. I want you to meet Jeremy Samek, S-A-M-E-K, the right-wing lawyer who guides conservative school boards in crafting anti-LGBTQ policies. He looks a lot like Ryan Walters in Oklahoma, doesn't he? He's the senior counsel at the right-wing Independence Law Center. He defends the districts pro bono when they're sued over their policies. His group is the legal arm of the Pennsylvania Family Institute, which is a branch of the extremist hate group, the Family Research Council. He's working with dozens of school districts, and he identifies as a servant of Jesus, and he's a graduate of Liberty University.
There was an interesting interview this week with a woman who used to work for Ryan Walters in Oklahoma as an official of the state Board of Education or Education Department. And she talked about what a monster he is and how he really is out just to completely destroy the entire public school system of Oklahoma, how he will only talk to about 4 different people who are his cronies, refuses to meet with everyone else, exists behind locked doors, or doesn't show up at the office at all, refuses to apply for any kind of government funding for public schools, and is just on a crusade, literally a crusade, to eliminate public schools in the state of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma has gone quite downhill. I mean, it was not so long ago that they were electing Democratic governors and Democratic senators, but they were somewhat conservative.
Or closeted, David Boren, you know, let's not forget him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. In Calexico, California, a trans city council member and mayor, right? Raul?
Yeah, it's one of these things where they have the city council and they take turns being mayor. So
this is Raul Urena, who is being subjected to a recall effort. She sees transphobia behind the recall. Her opponents say it has nothing to do with her wearing a dress now, but her advocacy for progressive ideas like electric car chargers and more oppressive progressive approaches to drug use that's rubbed them the wrong way. Now, well, it's a rural community with a sputtering economy, overwhelmingly Latin, Catholic, and older, mostly conservative Democrats. Urena was elected in 2020 to a four-year term in 2022.
And transitioned after she was first elected. So the voters who are trying to recall her are claiming that she duped them.
You tricked us.
I think Carrie Lake tricked people.
Oh, my God. She's trying to.
Yeah, but it's sad. So we'll see whether whether Raul Urena survives the recall election.
Okay. In Philadelphia, Mayor Cheryl Parker has appointed out gay Michael Resnick as commissioner of the city's prison system, making him the highest ranking LGBTQ official in Philadelphia. He's not even the first gay to have the job. Leon King II was prisons commissioner from 2002 to 2008, and Resnick was his chief of staff. Resnick was also the city's director of public safety under Mayor Nutter. He's taking a very troubled prison system with 4,600 inmates.
And back to Tish James, Attorney General of New York. She is dealing with a very troubled Catholic hierarchy in New York State. She's reached an agreement with the Brooklyn diocese, or archdiocese, whichever.
Diocese.
I don't know. Okay. They all around clergy abuse, sexual abuse of minors. And the agreement is that there will be a secular monitor appointed in the diocese to oversee any cases of reported abuse, and that they will issue a press release for all anytime they identify an abuser, so that the community can know who these people are and be able to report past abuse by these people who have begun to be identified as abusers. Some people are upset that there isn't more punishment of the abusers, but this is a way to try to stop the problem.
Right. All right. Let's talk about this terrible situation in South Carolina, where in Somerville, I think it is, an off-duty cop, former NYPD, but had worked down there as well, Anthony DeLustro, 64, is charged with murder after shooting a gay guy, Michael O'Neill, 39, dead in a fight outside a Chick-fil-A. A fight escalated to blows, and then, you know, DeLustro basically said, "Get in the, I'm taking you in," or something with his.
I think that's a little wrong. I think what I read anyway was that O'Neill tried to leave.
Yes, he did.
They had a fight, and O'Neill then tried to walk away. He went and he got in his car. DeLustro then went and got in the car with O'Neill. He could have just walked away.
You're not going anywhere.
He gets in the car. He pulls his gun and shoots O'Neill several times, dead.
Right. O'Neill happens to be the son of a cop, and he's gone now. And, you know, DeLustro's trying to say, "Oh, I had a great record as a cop. Please don't be mean to me. Don't kill people."
A great record. He'd been accused of misconduct a couple of times in New York, cleared of those charges, as they always are here. More on that in a moment. He claimed self-defense against O'Neill. O'Neill was leaving the scene.
Right.
DeLustro goes, gets in the car, pulls his gun, shoots him, and is claiming self-defense. But there were a ton of bystanders, and the bystanders came forward after trying to intervene in the first place to break up the fight. We have no idea what the fight was about. But the bystanders told the truth and said what DeLustro is saying is all wrong. O'Neill was trying to leave. DeLustro pursued him, took the gun, shot him, and that is why DeLustro is charged with murder, because the bystanders spoke up and said, he's lying, and this is what really happened. And
they were not bystanders. They were upstanders.
Yeah, that was excellent to hear that.
Okay.
They did that.
All right. In Pennsylvania, the state boards of psychology and osteopathic medicine voted to oppose conversion therapy for minors, calling it unprofessional, harmful conduct that may subject any licensee engaging in it to administrative discipline. Now, the state has not banned it, as many places have, but the Democratic governor there, Josh Shapiro, I guess, would like to. And he just hopes, in the absence of action by the legislature, that other state boards will follow suit.
I want to go back to police stories. In New York City, we've been following the case of the killing by two police officers of a gay man in the Bronx in his home, Kowalski Trawick. He had
5 years ago.
Yeah. And he had been he was cooking. And neighbors had called the cops because Kowalski had been sort of.
Well, he had called the fire department to get into his apartment.
Yeah,
it was a little bit of a chaotic scene.
Yeah.
So all these people show up.
So the cops show up and they break into the apartment. And Kowalski's standing there at the stove cooking, and he happens to have a knife in his hand. And the cops, you know, start saying, "Put down the knife!" Blah, blah, blah. And Kowalski's saying, "What are you talking about? You know, I'm just cooking. I have what is it?" And they shoot him. They shoot him within 90 seconds of going into his apartment. So there's been a case going on for years about what to do about this. That Kowalski is dead, and the police chief in New York has now said absolutely no responsibility for the cops, no punishment, no nothing. And people are very, very upset about
this. Well, there was a big protest about it in Foley Square to call attention to it. And, you know, the family, of course, you know, says these cops broke into our son's home and murdered him within seconds without even attempting to administer any aid to a troubled person, obviously.
Yep.
You know, I don't understand. You know, cops have got guns. So he has a knife. Throw a net over him.
Exactly.
Why are you shooting him dead? Or, you know, a stun gun or something.
Or retreat and call in reinforcements.
Kill.
Yeah.
It's just.
Meanwhile, an NYPD cop did get fired for making harassing phone calls about a superior. You can shoot anybody you want, but as long as they're a civilian. But if you make a harassing phone call about one of your superiors, boom, you're off the force.
This guy did not like a woman a supervisor, I guess, at his precinct. This is our precinct, by the way.
Yep.
The 10th. And so he starts making anonymous 311 calls about, you know, there's this mean transgender woman running things there. I don't think anybody wants to go in there to report crimes or anything, you know, because they don't want to deal with her and all this kind of stuff. This went on for against Lieutenant Marlene Hernandez.
Do we know whether she is trans?
Apparently not. He said, I knew she wasn't trans. I just did it to be funny, he said.
Ha, ha, ha.
Who's laughing now?
So he gets fired, but the cops who killed Kowalski Trawick are completely exonerated. I have no words. I have plenty of words, but
well,
I have.
Well, here's a justice issue. At Horace Greeley High School in Chappaqua, they suspended.
New York.
They suspended an LGBT 17-year-old student for using anti-gay slurs in a rap recording that he did off campus that a friend posted. The words were faggot and twink. He was punished
for hate speech.
This is called hate speech. And while twink is sometimes used derisively, context matters. And the student is suing now because he said he used the words ironically, reclaiming a slur. He cited a 2021 Supreme Court decision that gives schools a narrower interest in regulating off-campus speech.
This is totally out of school hours. He's doing this on his own. He is a rap performer. He's an out gay 17-year-old, and the school gets word of this and suspends him.
Well, he's being represented by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, which takes cases that the ACLU generally doesn't want to.
Okay. All right.
By the way, colleges are now renaming all their DEI programs under political pressure. The University of Tennessee changed theirs to the Division of Access and Engagement.
Look, I'm thrilled they found a workaround. Instead of getting rid of these divisions, they're now just renaming them.
But Tennessee was going to ban DEI offices regardless of name, but relented when the Knoxville Jewish Alliance complained it would limit how it could support Jewish students.
Well, there you go. In Aurora, Colorado, five trans and non-binary detainees in an ICE facility are filing a complaint because of the horrendous care they're getting there. Bad health care, discrimination, harassment, mistreatment across the board. It's just, the treatment of human beings is very upsetting.
Well, are we going to get to some of those upsetting stories?
Well, we're going to start, I think, in California in West Hollywood, where a hairstylist to the stars, Alberto Vasquez, was brutally beaten outside a gay bar. They do not regard it as a robbery because nothing was taken from him. So they're seeking the attacker or attackers.
Was found unconscious with a cracked skull. Police are searching for his attacker. He had been out bar hopping. He underwent brain surgery. His sister said it was a gay bashing with injuries all over his body. The sheriff says, we don't know if it was homophobic, racist, a fight with someone at a bar, but they are seeking tips.
Yeah. In San Juan, Puerto Rico, it has come to light that a trans woman, Africa Perea Garcia, 25 years old, a poor street sex worker, found dead, shot multiple times, no arrest there. Just another poor trans street sex worker murdered.
And in Miami, a trans man, T. Arnold, 36, was shot dead on April 3rd around 1:30 a.m. at the Village at Gulfstream Park. Police are saying it was not a hate crime. They are searching for a female suspect, and they say the perpetrator was known to the victim.
And that maybe this was a contracted hit?
Well, I didn't read that part, but we will keep you posted.
Little items come up here and there. And a couple of people we lost this last week, fortunately, in murder situations, but mourned.
One of them was one of our only real allies among Catholic bishops, Thomas Gumbleton. He was an auxiliary bishop in Detroit. He has died at 94. He was known, there you see him, no war. He was mainly known as a peace activist, once leading Pax Christi and protesting the Vietnam War, right through the Iraq War and others. And he had a gay brother who kind of turned him around on gay issues, although when he first got the letter from the brother about it, he said he put it aside. But he later endorsed gay rights laws. When I was a Catholic and working in Dignity, this was one of the few bishops that you could quote in a press release that supported gay rights. Mm-hmm. And then he eventually came out for same-sex marriage, speaking of the beauty of gay love. He spoke out forcefully for the victims of clergy sexual abuse, revealing that in high school he was touched inappropriately by a priest, but very careful not to compare what he went through to the horrendous abuse that so many do.
He was a great activist on world hunger issues, peace around the world, Central America's military governments. He was everywhere doing everything.
A film about him was titled No Guilty Bystander. Led a very simple life. He slept on a bed on the floor next to his office, led by example. The Catholic Church certainly needs more like him.
We all do. And we also mourn the death in Pennsylvania of conjoined twins at the age of 62.
The oldest to have survived that long.
On the left, Lori. On the right, George. George transitioned from female to male, was a trans man, and the first known trans conjoined twin. There's a lovely interview with them, about 8 minutes long, that we're going to link to in our show note. They talk a lot about why they weren't separated, what their lives were like, how they managed to live separate lives while physically conjoined. Lori on the left was a champion bowler. George on the right was a very successful country singer.
They respected each other's privacy, and they did live as individuals. Lori said, "We're not one person with two bodies." George said he knew from a young age that he was a boy, and when he came out, Lori was very supportive. Lori said, "Together, we were such a strong team."
All right. International news?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, in Nigeria, a trans woman who's one of the biggest celebrities in Nigeria, Bo Brisky, it's one word name, was sentenced to 6 months in a male prison for something called Naira abuse, spraying banknotes at a film premiere.
Tossing them in the air.
Brobisky was one of Nigeria's most popular celebrities, said she was not aware of the ban, and it is rarely prosecuted.
In Germany, they have passed a new law that allows trans and non-binary people to self-identify as such and change their documents at age 18. And those younger, those 14 and from 14 to 18, can make those same changes with parental consent or court order.
The first names that you choose need to reflect your chosen gender is one of the requirements. The law does allow women's gyms and changing rooms to still decide who has access to them. And then in the United Kingdom, you know, we told you about this study last week that they came up with, which says, oh, we're not going to do puberty blockers anymore at the National Health Service. Big, big study. But now, you know, we're reading about the horrible wait times at the National Health Service if you just want any kind of care around transgender. I mean, a kid a couple of years ago, he was told he had a 26-month wait for an appointment. 26 months for an appointment. He took his own life, and there's a whole rash of suicides over this over there because they can't get care. So where's the concern for health?
Yeah.
You're keeping these treatments away from the young people, but you're not doing anything for them.
Right. In fun times in Poland, where a Catholic priest has been priest jailed for 18 months because a man OD'd at a play party he was hosting.
We did report on that about a year ago, and now he's finally getting sentenced.
Yes, he is. The cops and ambulance people were kept out of the party, away from helping the guy who OD'd. So that didn't help his case.
Well, that's what happens when people are closeted. They don't want to deal with the authorities.
Well, we've seen that everywhere.
And that leads to more unfortunateness.
Iraq is considering passing a law assigning the death penalty or life in prison for anyone LGBT, and the law also...
This is the country we fought 20 years to liberate?
Exactly. And the law also includes a, you know, Russian-style no-promo-homo clause. In India, they're about to hold a big election, and the party's out of power at the moment. The Congress and Communist parties are promising that if they are elected, they will legalize same-sex civil unions after the Supreme Court wouldn't legalize same-sex marriage.
The Modi conservative government, nationalist, Hindu nationalist government, looks like a shoo-in.
Well, I hope someone legalizes something when they get into office, because what the court said was, we can't do it, but the legislature can. Right. So that's what we're waiting for.
All right.
Entertainment news?
Well, we got some good news about some people we follow. Brittany Griner and wife Sherelle have announced that they are expecting their first child soon,
nice.
Less than 3 months away. They married in 2019, but it's not the first child for Brittany. She shares twin girls from her brief marriage to Glory Johnson, with whom she split in 2016. Those twins live in Tennessee. Brittany calls Johnson her best friend. I guess Sherelle's okay with that.
We lesbians, we have many friends among our exes.
We are an army of ex-lovers.
I keep wanting to think Caitlin Clark is a lesbian, but of course I have no evidence of that, and she supposedly has a boyfriend.
No, I saw a picture of the two of them together, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I never know whether it's the boyfriend or one of her brothers. She has two brothers, too, who were at the...
It was in the paper today,
WNBA selection thing. Did you see her on Saturday Night Live, though?
No.
Hilarious. Hilarious. She was on the Weekend Update segment. She's the funniest thing that's been on the show in years.
Really?
Yes. really, I mean, she didn't write the jokes, I don't think, but she delivered them very well, and she was very sharp and good. But she's not getting paid enough in the WNBA.
No, she was the number one draft pick.
$76,000.
What?
Yes. The men, the rookie men get millions.
Right.
Millions, like 12 million, 17 million, something. $76,000 for Caitlin Clark entering the WNBA.
This, of course, is why Brittany Griner was going to Russia to play, because
exactly.
She made a lot more money over there, and
yep.
Then she got arrested.
That's what they're all
spent,
doing.
A year and a half, I guess, in prison.
Meanwhile, the fan support for this, the numbers are through the roof, not only watching the women's college March Madness
right.
tournament, but watching the WNBA selection broadcast. I watched it. 2.5 million people watched her be picked number one. We all knew it was going to happen. It wasn't very compelling television, but 2.5 million people tuned in to watch this and watch who got picked where. It was crazy.
Well, I think tennis
76
is,
million,
I think tennis
76,
is about 000. The only sport where they've done some parity, right?
Yes. I mean,
it's not happening in golf.
No, but they are upping the purses as they go along.
And there's been some adjustment to soccer,
yes,
football.
Yes, they're fighting for equity there, too, and have achieved it in some ways. But $76,000.
Okay.
Wow. Well, you better fill up those arenas so that they'll have the money to pay these women more.
More love news. An actor from Heartstopper, the Netflix series about young gay and straight kids, Bradley Riches announced his engagement to his boyfriend, Scott Johnston. On the show, Riches plays a nerdy character who had been pursuing a romance with one played by Toby Donovan, who then came out as asexual, so they couldn't go out together. But Ray Scott Brandon said, "I've never thought I'd find someone who gets me and loves me for me."
And, can we just have that script written somewhere that everyone could repeat?
And speaking of Heartstopper, the star, one of the big stars of it, Kit Connor, who has come out as bi, is set to play Romeo in a Broadway revival of Romeo and Juliet this fall opposite Rachel Zegler, who was Maria in the Spielberg movie of West Side Story. And, of course, you know, it's all Romeo and Juliet set in the... So Sam Gold is going to direct that.
Well, next week we have We're Here, returning to HBO and Max, season 4. But they've totally changed the cast. No more Shangela, no more Bob, no more Eureka. Now they've got a whole new cast, a lot of RuPaul alums, Jada Essence Hall, Sasha Velour, Latrice Royale, and Priyanka.
Is it getting more dangerous to go into these small towns?
It could hardly be more dangerous, but there are 4 of them instead of 3. Now, one thing that happened is that Shangela, who is just brilliant and wonderful, was accused of sexually harassing some of the crew members on the show. So I think they just didn't want to go any further with her, but maybe they just thought they would freshen the show by changing the cast. I don't really know, but that starts on April 26th next week, or this coming week, depending on when you're seeing this. And it's such a brilliant show because it is these really over-the-top, fantastic drag queens who go into these very, very rural, conservative towns all over America and get to know the people there and support the very isolated LGBTQ residents and then put on a big drag show with everybody and usually turns out well, although not everybody is crazy about it. But it's a very engaging and very provocative show.
And it starts again?
April 26th on HBO.
Okay.
We're Here is the name of the show.
Now, at the Olivier Awards, which is the London equivalent of the Tonys, out gay Mark Gatiss won Best Actor for playing gay actor John Gielgud in a play called The Motive and the Cue, which I saw about a year ago. It's about Gielgud directing Richard Burton in Hamlet on Broadway in 1964. And he's a wonderful out gay actor and stands up for gay causes and all those things, Mark Gatiss.
And that was a surprise win.
Yeah, they were thinking it was going to go to Andrew Scott for a one-man show of Vanya. We're going to see Uncle Vanya in a couple of weeks.
With an all-star cast.
With a complete cast and Steve Carell and many others.
Yep. Alison Pill.
Yeah, a whole bunch.
But, Jane Hodeschel.
But
Nicole Scherzinger won for Sunset Boulevard, which is coming to Broadway momentarily.
Well, I think in the fall, isn't it?
Well, it's momentarily.
At our age, it's momentarily.
But I remain astonished by her success in this because I remember her as the leader of the Pussycat Dolls, basically semi-burlesque singing group years ago. And the fact that she has now turned up as this huge theatrical star with a reputedly amazing voice is just an astonishing evolution.
And, you know, people, you know, misinterpret Sunset Boulevard, the age. You know, the fading star is only supposed to be about 50 years old, and that's about how old Gloria Swanson was when she played the movie. Of course, Norma Desmond was played by Glenn Close when she was about 70 on Broadway.
Was she?
Yes.
Was she really that old?
Yes.
Maybe a little younger.
All right.
I don't know. All right. So then we have appropriate.
Now, of course, in many parts of the country, and I'm expecting this when I go to Little Rock, the cicadas are out. And that's the way this play starts. You are surrounded by the sound of cicadas in Arkansas at a family home. This was a play I was looking forward to more than any other this season. It's written by outwriter Brandon Jacob Jenkins, African-American, gay. And the great cast, led by out Sarah Paulson and by Corey Stahl.
Who you will remember as one of the big billionaires from Billions.
Right. But while I was expecting sort of a serious dive into the dark heart of racism in a family, and indeed the American family in general, I felt it was undermined by too many distracting and what I would call discordant sitcom-y jokes. I mean, you can have humor. There's humor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and In Doubt and all these things. But I thought these were jokes and it was distracting me. It also became much too predictable because almost every character was a type and they telegraphed what they were going to do and say. Nicer to be surprised by what happens, for better or worse. So I kind of left not caring what happened to any of them, except for those kids who have all these screwed up parents. But look, this has gotten universal raves from all the other critics, so don't go by me.
Well, why not go by you? You're a critic, and you're here to give us your opinion, and people can evaluate. Someone asked me the other day, have you heard about that Mary whatever play? I said, what rock have you been hiding under? Oh, Mary is the biggest hit in New York in this year.
This is the Lincoln Mary Todd play.
Yeah, Cola Scola as Mary Todd Lincoln. Huge sold-out hit at the Lucille Lortel. And I did, it was a rumor before, but I've read something more concrete that it is transferring to Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure how it'll play in a Broadway house versus the little Lucille Lortel theater. But it really is, once you get past the first few minutes and get into it and it gets going, it is hilarious.
I mean, you know, the reason that Soon It's Gonna Rain, I can't, the Fantastics ran for like 99 years was because it was in a 99-seat theater in the Village.
Yeah. Easier to, so but I was just, you know, this was a sophisticated, supposedly, person who said to me, yeah, what's this? I said, you're not even reading the New York Times. Come on. They've done at least three feature pieces on this.
Okay. It's a local event in New York City, but the Rainbow Book Fair at the LGBTQ Center on Saturday, April 20th from noon to 6 p.m. is the largest LGBTQ book event in the world. And among the featured readers, Felice Picano, Tori Peters, Samra Habib, and Andrea Lawler, and among the panels, The Male Muse at 50 Plus and Banned Books and Their Consequences.
Yeah, it should be a big deal. That's this Saturday, the 20th, from noon to 6 at the center on West 13th Street.
And the much-heralded production of Cabaret, which is on in New York now. I haven't gotten an invitation.
Andy.
Well, anyway, starring Eddie Redmayne. Well, here's a picture of Eddie, and he plays the company celebrating the 92nd birthday of out actor Joel Grey, who originated the role of the MC on Broadway and on film, and he won the Tony and the Oscar for it.
He's been out for quite a while, but 30 years ago, I'm not sure he was really officially out, 94. We did the Gay Games in New York, the LGBTQ Olympic event, much bigger than the regular Olympics, by the way, because everyone is welcome. And we held an ice skating competition at a rink out in Brooklyn, in Coney Island. And I was on the board of the Gay Games, and so I was asked to present medals at that event. And Joel Grey was also asked to present medals. So Joel Grey and I, 30 years ago, were presenting medals at the Gay Games ice skating event. And I wasn't sure he was officially out, but he was very game. He showed up. He was completely charming and delightful. It was great to have him there.
I had to interview him once for something called Legends of the Village. It was a calendar, and we sat down to lunch, and I said, "Oh, it's so an honor to meet you," and all this kind of stuff. He says, "Oh, Andy, we know each other." And no, we don't. We'd never met. But, I mean, maybe he'd seen the show or something.
Or maybe you'd forgotten.
No. Well, that's possible. But I don't ever remember meeting him. But he's a great guy, a wonderful guy. He's a great photographer, by the way.
Well, it's nice when someone who is a nice guy has a long life and is sort of universally beloved and successful. So
and he works a lot, he keeps working. He's not retired.
Tell me we're not going to be doing this when we're 92.
We're not going to be doing this when we're 92. I don't expect to be 92.
Don't say that because you never know.
I know. Well,
anything could happen.
Saw my heart doctor this week. Things are basically okay, but, you know, okay. He said you could stand to lose a little weight.
Well, they always say that. Actually, I went to my doctor once in recent years and said something about wanting to lose a little weight, and he said, "Oh, you're fine."
He gave you permission.
He did. That was a mistake.
He gave you permission.
Don't do that.
Well, you and I are going to be back next week. Right?
Yes, and then I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and Maren Johns will be here 1 week, and Rob Shooter will be here the next week, and then I'll be back.
And I'll be here.
Yeah. So go to our website at gayusatv.org to sign up for our weekly email show note.
To get all those extras that Anna's talking about, and please send me the link to that.
I will do so, and the two of us will see you next week right here.